Here with Georgia Tech golf coach Bruce Hepler as the Yellow Jackets prepare to fly to Las Vegas this weekend for the Southern Highlands Collegiate tournament the Yellow Jackets have played in many times. Coach, this is Las Vegas is familiar territory to you. It's not far from your roots and all that sort of thing. Your roots in coaching and your roots and your family roots. So you like going there every year? Or you like to try to go over there every year if you can?
Well, it's obviously historically it's one of the best fields in college golf. That's slipped a little bit. I think some folks, they started an event in Cabo, Mexico, and that's kind of split the nation up. Mm-hmm. But there's still more than 30 good teams in the country anymore. So it'll be a test from that standpoint. Golf courses can be really, really difficult. Depending on the spring they've had with how much rain they've had, it can either be like playing on the concrete of the Las Vegas Strip or be a little softer the last few years looking at the scores. They've not been quite as difficult. You can get wind. You can get weather. It's exposed on the side of the hill there, so it can be really, really, really difficult. You can find yourself with hot hands and a stocking cap. You know, it's actually a little earlier than it's been. So, but obviously it's where – Coach Knight offered me a job to go into coaching at UNLV. That's a big deal. They're the host. And, you know, as you know, we don't play on TV. So kids are living out there now, and so it'll be a chance for them to come down. And in the old days, my mom and dad would come down and watch the team play and stuff. So I have a lot of friends there, and so it is certainly good to go back home.
What is this trip like in comparison with the others? Do you stay at one of the – casino hotels? Where do you stay when you go there?
We used to, and then I just got tired of the valet parking a 15 passenger van and all those kind of things and walking through the casino with your golf clubs and stuff. Mm-hmm. So we just stay at a Hilton Garden Inn just off the strip and try to stay away from all that nonsense. And then if we want to go to dinner, go to a buffet and they can look at all the craziness and all the people and do some people watching and stuff. But I just to stay in those big places, it's just too difficult to get in and out of. So I've changed my ways over the last 10 or 12 times we've gone out there.
You ever had any difficulties with guys wanting to hang out in the casino a little too much or anything like that?
It was interesting. Different personality types. Mm-hmm. David Dragoo, mm-hmm. who you wouldn't think was a real prolific gambler, mm-hmm. would actually take a coat and tie with him on this trip, and his dad would come up from Scottsdale, and after dinner they would sit down in their coat and tie at a blackjack table and play a little bit of that. So that was always kind of bizarre. But I think the greatest story ever is we're assuming from this conversation that Chris Mickelson was 21 and of legal age, correct? Mm-hmm. So he's playing these $5 chips all night long, and he finally gets up $100. And so he goes over to the cage and he turns these $5 chips into $100 chip. And there's a table over there that's minimum bets $100. So he goes over there and there's a guy sitting there with about 40 chips or whatever. And it's just him and this other guy. And Chris puts this one chip out and the guy looks at him and he said, "Son, doesn't look like you plan on being here very long." And he lost the first hand of blackjack and up and smoked one of his $100. But Chris felt really good about sitting at the $100 table. So a little bit of that type of fun, try to have some fun, but obviously keeping in perspective.
Yeah.
Not real big on gambling and the NCAA and all those kind of things we're not supposed to be doing, but it is part of the town.
Have there ever been any shows as part of the trip?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think we've seen every Cirque du Soleil there is, and there aren't any new ones. So haven't gone to one of those for a while, but in the beginning to go see and some of those guys, it was pretty fascinating and stuff. So, yeah. Mm. Try to get one night of that, but
will you do that this time?
I can't find any shows they haven't seen already, so okay. I don't think we'll go this time.
Oh, that's too bad. Obviously you're coming off a big win in Florida this past week. This is a tight turnaround. Obviously, this tournament's coming up on the heels of that one. I assume you're not making a lineup change, you're taking the same guys?
I don't think so. Probably so, yes.
Are you just taking the five? Or
just five can play in this one, yeah. No individuals at all this year.
What were your takeaways from the tournament in Florida from our team perspective, first off?
Well, obviously, you're interested in the golf course because that's where the championship will be in April.
Right.
And so that was part of, I think, the benefit of getting to play there and to kind of see what the demands are and what you have to do well to play well there. Obviously, turned out to be really positive for us. I think you have to drive the ball well. And if you do, you can shoot 10 under in a day or 15 under in a day. And if you don't, you're not going to. So the shorter holes force you to hit some irons off the tees. So you're still hitting longer clubs in. The par threes are almost all of them play almost close to 200 yards. One of them's well over 225. So pretty demanding tee to green, which I've shared with you. I think that is the strong suit. We've spent some time on the other stuff. I think Devin and I visited about the statistics this morning, and our up and down percentage for most of the year has been under 50%, which is really poor. And this week it was 65%. And so you just see some things, you know, sometimes it doesn't always translate into someone's score immediately, but I'm watching us get balls up and down that we haven't. And I think that bodes well for what we're doing, and saw some really nice wedge shots and stuff. So obviously it's a moving target always. I think we cut our three putts down by 2/3 from Hawaii to there, and it just shows, reflects on the scoreboard. So I think the course is good, the golf course is good for us. And I know, you know, anytime you win anywhere, it always creates a good feeling when you're going back and some confidence in the guys.
Those issues that you came out of Hawaii with, short game and putting and such, some of that depends on the way the golf course plays, right?
Yeah, I mean, these greens from a three-putt, I mean, you know, was it just the green complexes that we putted better? Much flatter, more, we used to, you know, over there in Hawaii, it's paspalum, grass, the grain, it's just different. This was just your good, really good Bermuda that we put on here at the range every day, and greens were flatter, not as much slope to them. And so that made it, I think, putting a little bit easier from that standpoint. But still, the pitching and chipping, that's the same wherever you go. And that was nice. They had overseeded the course. And so a lot of the lies you got around the greens were good. And that'll be the same way it is in April. And so that probably led to some of the improvement.
You've seen Southern Highlands enough. How do you think that's going to translate there?
Well, I think we drive the ball well again. And it's just the same kind of thing out there. You got to hit it in the fairway. I think our length will help to some of it. Now, if they're running out, well, Ross and Christo and some of these guys may hit the golf ball too far and have them take the driver out of their hand, which I hope isn't the case. But Las Vegas is a golf course where you hit Southern Highlands where you really have to think one shot ahead. There's a lot of angles into the greens, and if you don't have the right angle coming over a greenside bunker, then you have to play the middle of the green. So it takes a lot of patience and discipline, and I feel like last year the best event we played all year was at Colusa Pines, which I thought was the most demanding golf course that we played the entire year. So I think the harder it is, the better it is. And I really thought that, I know those guys really didn't know how that yesterday was going. There were no scoreboards. I guess there might've been one at the turn, handwritten one that wasn't out there. So I don't know if they ever knew where it got to, but I told them they ought to be proud of themselves without even knowing that they continue. It wasn't like now we got to make stuff happen on the back nine that this, you don't know, but it's that they know that the back nine is the back nine and it's the last day. And I think we made maybe 9 birdies and an eagle there in that stretch. And to be back there, the back of the bus, guys are out in front of you, and you know, Bartley's playing in the last group of the event, and to continue to fight is the kind of the composure and the competitiveness that I think if we can ever get that as a group, then it could be a really special team. We talk all the time about it's not about you. We're going to throw somebody out every day. And it may be with a good round or a disappointing round. But if we can ever get to where we just send 5 guys off every day and that's an independent event, yesterday doesn't matter, the next day doesn't matter, and you just go and play those 18 holes completely independent of anything that's happened in the past or thinking about the future, then you really have the discipline to be competitive at the national level.
Last week we talked a little bit about what some of our recent graduates are doing now because they don't have status on tour yet. Talking about guys like Andy Ogletree, Ty Strafacci, Luke Schneiderjans, who are kind of sort of in limbo in terms of their status as professionals. A couple guys we did not talk about were the two guys that finished up last year, and that would be Noah Norton and Will Dixon. Kind of give us an update on what those two are up to.
Yeah, Will stayed in town, actually both have, and has worked really, really hard. He's playing in same kind of stuff. Played in a Florida Lead event a couple weeks ago and made some money. Mm-hmm. Made more than it cost him to be there, which is positive when you're playing those tours. And is just getting a Monday for Corn Ferry stuff. And then, unfortunately, Noah has torn a meniscus in a knee and just had surgery. So he's probably out for, mm-hmm. I would at least think, 3 or 4 months. Mm-hmm. So he comes down to the practice facility and does a little chipping and putting, and it'll be a while before he does full swing. So we've had some injuries. I think we maybe mentioned it. Ollie's going to have some hip work done, and Andy had some hip work done. So we got to get the mash unit repaired so they can go out and just do their thing. So
yeah, that's good. Well, wish them luck, obviously. Good luck next week.
Thank you very much. Weekend. Appreciate Thanks. It.